So we're day five of the God Zone Adventure Race, Chapter 10. How have things been going? We're catching up with race directors Adam Fairmaid and Warren Bates. And Adam, let's start with you this morning and get it out of the way. Richie McCaw and Rob Nicol of Team iSport. What have you got to say about that?
It's just a factor of racing. If poor old Rob wasn't feeling well probably coming into the race and gave it a good crack, but he from what I understand, he had an abscess in his ear or a lot of discharge coming out of his ear, and was very nauseous, was vomiting, and once you get to that stage, there's really no way forward. So they just did what they had to do. They never, for a team of that quality, they were never travelling very fast, and it probably looked to most people like there was something not quite right, and there wasn't. So they boxed on until CP4 and came out from there, which I don't think there was any option to do anything else, Margot, to be honest.
Yeah, I spoke to Rob yesterday and he said that it was a pretty difficult decision to make, particularly for his teammates, but one that the medics obviously wouldn't let him carry on. Do you think that we'll see that team back at God's Own next year?
I'm not sure. It'd be nice to. They certainly have a lot of people following them, and they're a good quality team. But I don't know what their plans are for next year. I hope to come back.
Yeah, and is it true the rumours that you were hanging out with them at the Glenorchy pub yesterday?
Well, I did have dinner with them last night. Yes, Margaret.
Okay, good. Well, we've got that one out of the way. I mean, very disappointing for Rob and for Richie, but certainly the media love following that team, and they really champion God's Own, and it's been amazing to follow Richie's progress since his World Cup rugby days, the switch over to adventure racing and multi-sport in general, and he genuinely, authentically loves being out in the New Zealand backcountry, doesn't he?
Oh, he really does, yeah. When you look at the progression of both those guys, Rob did the first race, and then and Richie in 2016, was it? They've both come a long way and become, you know, exceptionally good racers. Rich's race last year to get second with a quality team was pretty mind-blowing, really. A guy of his size and relatively little experience to do that was incredible. So, they're a very capable team, very capable guys.
So, Warren, day five, and we've woken up to a bluebird day in the Southern Lakes region. It's a stellar day to be out on the mountaintops. But before we go to where the bulk of the teams are right now, if we have a quick retrospective glance back over the last 24 hours, we've had a huge weather factor, and also we've had to put in a new short course decision to try and mop up some of the teams that have been struggling on stage three.
Yeah, well, I guess we always have in place, like we have in all chapters, the last nine of them before this one, that any teams that fall behind our projected times, we reserve the right to expedite them along the course to give them a better chance of reaching the finish line within the time parameters of the race. And obviously a decision was made that for various safety reasons and, as say, for timing, that there was a number of teams that had not reached TA3 in Glenorchy by the time. And they've taken a 24-hour timeout, and they will move a couple of stages further forward, missing the Air Mountains in particular, which is a long and tough stage. And I think, you know, there'll be the odd team within that lot who'll go, oh, that's disappointing. But I think they would know the writing was on the wall, that there was no way that they were going to make it through. And this does allow them a chance to regroup, rest, and then move forward and, you know, get their teeth stuck into the last four or five stages of the race, which generally, compared to the front four or five stages, are quite a bit easier. Though, obviously, there's a fair few miles in the legs by now.
Yeah, and Adam, you were at the TA when those teams came in just around 8 o'clock last night. What was the response?
Oh, I think there was no real disappointment in the voice. I think they they've been beaten up a lot on that trek, and a lot of them were relieved to get to the TA. And I think when they're very accepting of the fact that that they were behind the eight ball and being shifted forward, but still in the race wasn't a bad option. I haven't talked to all the teams, but that was the general feeling I got. And the support crews, a lot of them were actually very supportive of it. They were getting a bit concerned about them being up so long and running out of food and that sort of thing. Generally, I think it's been accepted well.
So how many teams, Warren, do we now have who have moved through TA3 and are still on the full course?
Oh, it's in the 20s, and that's obviously excluding most of the pursuits, who a couple of obviously unranked already. There may be one team at the back who's not tracking quite so quick, but you know, with the pures and the pursuits, there's still probably approaching 40 teams who are still with the very realistic proposition of doing a full course finish, which is particularly impressive given that we're, you know, into the fifth day of the race. And there's been a bit of a weather bomb come through, and they've been through probably the hardest God Zone stage ever. And I think all those teams, pursuits and pures in particular, will be laser guided in their focus on that cutoff, which is at 11 p.m. tomorrow night. So they need to clear the Air Mountains or get to TA5 before that time to continue on the full course. And that will be the only thing they're thinking about. They've got a beautiful day today. It makes navigating an awful lot easier. The lines in the mountains are all easy to pick. And I think the spirits will be up, and they'll just be thinking, just keep tacking along, just keep going. And I think the race has also consolidated so much in that middle group. There's an awful lot of teams within cooey of each other. There'll be more teams working together. They'll be looking at what other lines teams are going. So they'll all pull themselves along. And, yeah, I'm still hopeful that a good 80, 90% of those teams that are still out there will make that cutoff tomorrow night. And then they've got a 3 or 4 day push to the finish.
If you look at Avaya, who are clearly still in the lead, and they've already, this morning just on sunrise, they came out of the Air Mountains, and calculating back that we think they spent about 38 hours up in the mountains, but 30 of those hours, you say, were when they were on the move. The rest of the time was either in transition or CP areas and also getting a good sleep. So if our lead team can take 38 hours up there, there's still enough time for these mid-to-back teams to get through to the TA by 11 o'clock tomorrow night, you guess?
What those teams know is they've got to be there by 11. And Avaya didn't have that pressure. And for them, they took a lot of sleep. If you take that out of the equation, change it to 3 hours for the other teams, I think we'll see most of them make that 11 o'clock cut-off tomorrow night.
Interesting. So what you're saying is that Avaya's race strategy, of course, is completely different because they are in the lead and they know where they want to, you know, maybe tank a bigger sleep to get it in the tank before they head off on this mountain bike ride that they'll do today through the Nevis.
Yeah, well, that stage doesn't require much thinking, to be honest. It's just purely about watts and hills and keeping going and keeping your morale up and staying awake on your bike. Whereas the Air Mountains at night, you know, is fraught with navigational challenges. Chris would have been buried in that map, you know, almost the entire length, not looking to make mistakes. And it requires an awful lot of brain computing power and concentration for extended periods of time. And even the world's best team, possibly the best team of all time, probably, still needs to take some downtime. And they got to a point in the middle of the night. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. And they just thought, now's the time, sit down, 7 hours, eat, sleep, recover, and get going again. And they've still got a handsome lead, and they're banking sleep all the time. So they're in no danger of missing any cutoffs. So, you know, they'll get to TA, they'll meet their support crew, Mark will say, don't worry, you've still got a 10-hour lead, and you've had lots of sleep. So they're in a great position. You know, everything's fully under control. What I think is interesting is in that second, third, fourth spot where you've got 10 teams all within side of each other, all going to be coming into transition within an hour or two of each other. But some of those teams might have had 8 hours sleep. Some of them might have had an hour sleep. And it's how you cope and how is your strategy over the last 4 days set you up for the next three or four days. And some teams might go backwards pretty quick and some teams might go forwards quite quick. So I think that's the story over the next couple of days, really. Be interesting.
We've talked, Mo, about the difference between something like a God Zone, maybe a coast-to-coast or an Ironman, where we're not just looking at, you know, what time you're going to do on a particular course. It's about how you strategize your race to get to the finish. And Warren and I were talking this morning about, you know, the fact that we may not, you're not going to get 100% of teams finishing, and we may, you know, may get 30% of teams finishing, but the nature of this kind of race, particular race that's as tough as this one, it's really about how you plan your sleep, how you plan your race strategy, and how you deliver.
Yeah, and I think you're both right. That's what we're going to start seeing coming into play in the next 24 hours, because those chasing teams, the chasing pack, the Tiki Tours, the No Ideas, the Secret Billionaires, Top Sport, they're all up there. They're all in there. And if you look on the tracker this morning, they've all come back together after taking quite varied routes through the Air Mountains over the last 24 hours. But now there's a bit of a gaggle up there. And as you say, Warren, it will depend on which one of those teams has maybe had the most sleep and can keep pushing through. Because once they're on the Nevis mountain bike, it is a matter of just pedal to the metal, isn't it? And staying on your bike.
Yeah, and I mean, there may be a team like, I mean, there's a lot of gifted people out there, but some teams thrive in the backcountry. And I've been super impressed with, like, No Idea, for example. They come out of nowhere. They're all in their 20s. And they just seemed so at home in that bush and navigating through the mountains. They did awesome on stage three. They've knocked out another great leg here through the Air Mountains on stage five. But, you know, up comes a 170-kilometre bike stage with an awful lot of climb in it. And it's the sort of thing I'd be looking at Top Sport and be going, you know, with Simone and those guys who are bloody strong, you know, with maybe a little bit less navigation, those guys might, you know, start to put, you know, the pedal down a little bit. So we might see some yo-yoing. But, you know, again, it'll come down to who's managed their feet well, who's managed to avoid the chafing, you know, who's managed to feed well, who's had the most amount of sleep, who's basically provided the best foundation for the last 48, 72 hours of the race when she gets to, you know, to TA5. And we don't know that yet. And that's the fascinating thing about adventure racing. I mean, there may be teams in the last stage of the race, all within 20 minutes of each other. And who wants to run along the beach, you know, for 19 kilometres in the sand? Who wants it more? That'd be horrible.
Yeah.
Really, having been at the pointy end of a few sprint finishes at long races in the past, I know it's like the very worst feeling of all is arriving in a, you know, near the finish of a race after 5 or 6 days racing, knowing there's going to be some form of sprint happening. And it just comes down to hunger. And it's horrible. It's just so inappropriate.
And so clever of you two to put that long stretch of Brighton Beach at the end of this particular adventure, Chapter 10, which is turning out to be an absolute epic. But as you're saying, Warren, I think it's at the end of the day, it's going to come down to who wants it more.
Yeah, well, you've got to dig deep. And as Adam was alluding to, is this isn't Ironman, this is Mount Everest. And you might visit Everest 10 years in a row, and the weather doesn't permit you the option to do it. And 1 year you'll luck out, and all the stars will align, and you'll get up there. And this is what God's Zone is: you've got to keep giving it a crack, and 1 year you'll get it right. And all these teams are giving it their best crack, but if they strategize right and they've looked after themselves well, all those teams have got every reason to get to the finish. And the ones that haven't quite made it that far have still had an unbelievable experience, and they've done themselves proud. Everybody's in awe of them, and they're just moving forward a couple of stages, and they're still going to have 9 or 10 days of epic adventure, and they should be amazingly proud of what they've achieved. So yeah, and I would just keep watching on, and hopefully the weather's kind to us the next few days.
Thank you.